In Helen Dunmore's novel The Lie, Daniel, the main character, finds a thin piece of card at the back of his mother's Bible. He turns it over and gazes at his school photograph, the only one ever taken. It shows rows of unsmiling children looking straight ahead as instructed, the girls' hair plaited and beribboned, their pinafores as white as bleach and sunlight could make them. We boys are wearing our Sunday jackets and collars, if we possess them, and our hair is darkly plastered to our skulls. We can immediately see the photograph in our mind's eye, and in that phrase, as white as bleach and sunlight could make them, we glimpse the hard lives of the children's mothers. All the washing, starching and ironing of clothes, the scrubbing of faces and brushing of hair that went into maintaining working class decency. It dawns on Daniel why his mother had not framed the photograph and put it up in the house. He was one of the half a dozen boys wearing a mended jersey. I was a child who had no jacket or Sunday collar and would never have one as far as the photograph was concerned. It fixed what we believed was temporary and made it the fact of our existence. His mother had not wanted to put on display a permanent memento of their straitened circumstances. In the India Office archives, I've often been confronted with similar conventional official photographs. Rows of neatly dressed men staring into the camera, their expressionless faces inscrutable. These photographs appear to have little information to offer, especially as it is against the rules for historians to write as if they know what thoughts and feelings were passing through the minds of a photograph's subjects. But Dunmore offers the historian a lesson in how to interpret such images imaginatively. In a photograph of assistant collector Reginald Maxwell, taken with his office staff in the early 1900s, he is the epitome of the Englishman in his neat suit and tie and shiny lace-up shoes. The one item of his clothing which makes a concession to the Indian climate is the solar topi he is holding on his lap. Although the topi had become a symbol of British power, because it was worn to protect the delicate white man from the blazing sun, it also signalled the white man's vulnerability in India. Maxwell would have relied heavily on his Indian clerks to help him administer the district where he was assistant collector. Even at their most numerous, there were only ever about 1,000 British civil servants scattered across the vast subcontinent. The English resisted the adoption of English suits by their office assistants. Indians in European clothes, looking every inch the Englishman, blurred the distinction between rulers and subjects. And in a letter, Maxwell commented to a friend that it was when Indians become westernised that one doesn't feel at home with them. How then did Maxwell get along with his staff? The office clerks seated on either side of him are dressed in a peculiar Anglo-Indian combination of crisp white sarongs, white shirts, buttoned black jackets, turbans and sandals. But one has the English touch of a neatly folded white handkerchief in his breast pocket, and another, could he be the head clerk, is wearing highly polished European lace-up shoes. Indians were only granted the right to wear shoes in the presence of an English officer in 1874. Dunmore's writing is inspiring as she prompts us to pay attention to the smallest details. The apparently dull photograph of Maxwell and his office staff is in fact riddled with tension.